When Jesus walked on the earth, he called many of his disciples, his first disciples, but with a simple invitation of come, follow me. And literally that's what the disciples did. They left what they were doing and physically walked after Jesus. And they went with him as he traveled around the Galilean countryside. But more than that, they also followed him in a sense that they lived the life that he lived. As they walked, they talked. And Jesus taught them about how they should live a life that pleases God, about how they should respond to circumstances that don't go the way they expected. He showed them how to love those who were in need. He showed them what living a life of worship to God looks like. As the disciples walked with Jesus, he showed them how to live. And through his Holy Spirit, Jesus is doing the same for us today. He is still guiding us, daily showing us how to live as we walk through this life with him. Over the last few months, we've been looking at a study in the letter of Galatians, and we've seen that Paul has been fighting for the gospel, trying to stop the Galatians from living a life of legalism, thinking that God's love is about what they do, not about faith in Jesus. But as Paul pulls them out of legalism, the danger is that they will then slip into license, thinking, well, then I can just do whatever I want. It doesn't matter. And last week, we saw that Paul finished by saying that they were not to use their gospel freedom to indulge in sin. So to avoid them falling into license and so that they'll stand firm in their gospel freedom, Paul tells them in verse 16, live by the Spirit, I say, and do not gratify the desires of the flesh. See, in the heart of every believer, there is a battle taking place, an internal struggle between what Paul calls the flesh, meaning our sinful nature, and the Holy Spirit. When Paul talks about flesh, he's not talking about our physical bodies, but he means that part of us that desires to live a life without God, that wants to rebel against his rule. If our life was a boat, the flesh is an enemy stowaway that sneaks on board and does whatever it can to keep us from heading towards God. And for the Galatians, who are mainly from a pagan background, this sinful nature expressed itself as idolatry, worshipping creation rather than the Creator, living lives to please themselves rather than glorifying God. But when Paul preached to them the gospel, the good news of Jesus, his death and resurrection, they put their faith in him, and then they received the gift of the Holy Spirit. And the role of the Holy Spirit is to be our guide, to show us how to give glory to Christ, to show us how to live and empower us to live that way. Just like the way a pilot gets on board a ship to bring it safely into harbor, so the Holy Spirit enters our life and guides us about how to live a holy life. But the sinful nature, the flesh, hasn't been fully removed, not yet. And so there is still this struggle within our hearts between the flesh and the spirit. And just as two armies are opposed to each other in a war, so the flesh and the spirit are opposed to each other, fighting to control our desires. Look with me at verse 17. Paul says, "For what the flesh desires is opposed to the spirit. And what the Spirit desires is opposed to the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to prevent you from doing what you want." The flesh desires to please itself, but the Spirit desires to please God. The flesh wants to do its own will, but the Spirit wants to do the will of God. And there is no agreement, no common ground between the spirit and the flesh. They are totally opposed to each other. And if you've ever been tempted, you know what this is like. You have experienced it. You want to do something, but yet you don't want to do something. Part of you wants to give in to the temptation, but also part of you doesn't. And you can feel this internal struggle. And for a Christian, that is the flesh struggling against the spirit, both having different desires because they are opposed to each other. And so the question for us this morning is, most of the time, who is behind the wheel? Whose desires are we following? Are we listening to the desires of the flesh, or are we listening to the desires of the Holy Spirit? On a daily basis, who's got control of the wheel of your life? Do your thoughts, words, and actions follow the desires of the flesh, or do they follow the desires of the Spirit? But how can we tell? How do we know which is which? Well, let's look at each of these in a little bit more detail, both sides of this battle. In verse 19, Paul says that the works of the flesh are obvious. And then he lists 15 vices, a mix between actions and attitudes that show examples of what the works of the flesh are like. And it's not a complete list because he finishes by saying, and things like these. So there are many more outworkings of the sinful nature, and this is just an example. And Paul says, if you're following the desires of your flesh, then this will be the content of your life. And roughly, this list can be broken into four groups. The first three vices are all connected with sex. I'm reading from the New Living Translation, which I find a little bit easier to understand what each of this mean. Paul says sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, sex outside of marriage, sex that is unnatural or sex that is uncontrolled. Next, there are things that are connected by religion, idolatry and sorcery, occult practices and pagan worship. And next, there are eight words that if you look at them, those are all things that destroy our relationships with each other. Hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy. And the final two have to do with substance abuse, drunkenness, and wild parties. These are the works of the flesh that Paul warns us against, and he warns us against them taking over our life. But then in stark contrast to that list, the next list has the fruit of the Spirit, which, as we, of course, we all know off by heart now, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And I know when I look at those two lists side by side, I know which one I want my life to be producing. I want to see the fruits of the Spirit and not the works of the fruit of the Spirit and not the works of the flesh taking over. And Paul says that against the fruit of the Spirit there is no law, is that you can have as much of these fruits of the Spirit as often as you want. There is no limit to how much love and peace and patience and goodness and self-control you can have in your life. But what is important to see here is what Paul is not saying. Because he does not say, don't do the works of the flesh and do the fruit of the Spirit. Because that would only kind of push us back into legalism, thinking it's about what I do, not about what Jesus has done. No, Paul goes to the root. He says that if your heart is following the flesh, then that is what your life is going to look like. But if your heart is following the Spirit, then this is what your life will produce. And it's also important for us to remember that the image is of fruit growing on a tree, not as maybe we're more used to it, of just going into the supermarket and a big batch of already growing apples or oranges is there in front of us. Now, fruit grows gradually over time. And it's the same with the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. It is not like we become a Christian and suddenly, bam, all the works of the flesh are gone in an instant and all the fruit of the Spirit are in their fullest amount. No, the fruit grows slowly over time, but it does grow. And the reality is that for most of us right now, there are things from both lists in our lives. We've got vices and we've got virtues. But the question is, which is increasing and which is decreasing? As you mature in your faith, can you see evidence of the fruit of the Spirit growing and taking the place of the works of the flesh in your life? Can you look back over the years that you've been a Christian and you can say to yourself, I used to have a terrible temper, but now I can see that I've got more patience. Or I used to be so quick to overindulge into temptation, but now I have self-control. It's the work of the Spirit in your life. A branch produces fruit not by its own effort, but because it is connected to the trunk and through the trunk to the roots. In the same way, we produce the fruits of the Spirit, not by trying really hard, but by staying connected to our faith and by living by the Spirit. And that is the key to what Paul is saying here. The key to living with gospel freedom is to live by the Spirit and to walk through life following Him. But how do we do that? What does that actually look like? Well, let me give you three ways that we can live by the Spirit. First of all, we need to receive the Holy Spirit. And that's not a complicated process. All we need to do is ask. Jesus says in Luke 11:13, he's talking to saying to parents, if you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? The Holy Spirit is the gift given to every Christian, not just to some, when we put our faith in Jesus. On the day of Pentecost, Peter preached, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. We need to receive the Spirit. And the second way that we live by the Spirit is to daily put the flesh to death. In verse 24, Paul says, and those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we are going to live by the Spirit, then we need to die to the flesh. Every day we take our works of the flesh, our impure thoughts, our jealous words, our overdependence on alcohol, whatever it is, whatever the sins are that we struggle with, and every day we need to nail them to the cross of Jesus. We need to die to our old sinful natures so we can live by the new life of the Spirit. It's like what Jesus says when he told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, they must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. We need to keep, and thirdly, we need to keep in step with the Spirit. In verse 25, Paul says, if we live by the Spirit, let us also be guided by the Spirit. If the Holy Spirit is our guide, then we need to follow Him. As He shows us how to live a life that pleases God, we need to keep up with Him and follow in the directions that He is leading us. And as a Christian, we want to live a life that pleases God, not so that we can be accepted by God, but because we already have been accepted by Him through our faith in Jesus. The Holy Spirit is our guide, so let's follow in His footsteps. Do the things that He is leading you to do. Speak the words that He's putting on your heart. Love the people that He brings into your life. When the disciples walked with Jesus, they talked with Him and they listened to what He said and they watched Him as He lived His life. And it is the same with us as we walk with the Holy Spirit today. We need to be talking with Him and listening to Him. We need to spend time reading the Bible so that we can recognize His voice. We need to enter into His presence through prayer. And we need to take time to be still and listen to how the Holy Spirit is prompting us. What is He saying that we need to do in situations? What are the words He is giving us? How is He challenging us? What is He prompting us to do? The Holy Spirit is guiding us, and we need to follow in His footsteps. So let's just take a moment now to pray as we ask that God in His grace, He would help us to be guided by the Holy Spirit this week. Let's pray. Abba, Father, We thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit. Thank you that you have sent him to us to be our guide and to keep us from doing what our sinful nature craves. Lord, with sorrow, we confess that at times we have followed the desires of the flesh. In your mercy, forgive our sexual immorality, our impurity, and our lust. Cleanse us from our hostility, our quarreling, our jealousy, and our anger. Forgive us of our idolatry, our selfish ambition, our dissension, our division, our envy, our drunkenness, and all of our sins. Thank you that Jesus died for us so that we could be set free from our guilt and shame and receive new life as your children. Come, Holy Spirit, produce in our lives the fruit of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Help us this week to nail the passions and desires of our sinful nature to the cross of Christ our King. And help us to follow the leading, how you lead us in every part of our lives for the praise and glory of Jesus Christ. And in his name we pray. Amen.